And she was a tough case. And I've been going to Al-Anon ever since. Actually, I was going to Al-Anon before that point, but Al-Anon has helped. One correction I want to make, just because I think it's kind of an interesting correction. Actually, when I wrote Each Day a New Beginning, I certainly had not been asked to write that book at all. I wrote that book to save my butt. Hazelden didn't know anything about it, in fact. I mean, I was kind of hiding out in my study, sitting in a broken-down recliner, coming home and writing that because I had so much trouble feeling a connection to a higher power, and that was how I felt connected. I sat and wrote, and I would go to meetings, and I loved meetings, and I would get this great feeling at meetings, and then I would kind of leave, and it would be gone. And I would look around at friends in meetings, and everybody seemed to have a much tighter connection than I had, and I didn't understand what was wrong. I had this huge gaping hole inside. And so when I would sit and write, it would feel as though my higher power was actually talking to me. And it was so transforming, and I had discovered kind of that transformative experience when I was in graduate school too. I loved writing papers because there was something that happened for me when I sat and wrote. So that's really how that came to be. I didn't know I was writing a book. I was actually journaling for myself. I ended up sharing that information, though, with Harry Swift, who was president of Hazelden at the time. And he was interested in seeing the book, and so I shared it with him. And he said, I think we ought to publish this. And actually, the people who were the powers in publishing at that time said, why would we need a book for women? Had it not been for Harry Swift, that book would never have been published because there wasn't, they really, truly, and that's nothing, you know, that was just the times, you know. It was published actually in 82, but, you know, it was like that. The feeling was, why would women need something for themselves? And I had no idea it was something that was going to relate to other women either. I was so self-absorbed. It was just for me and to save my butt. And so it's been a really surprise. It's been a miraculous surprise to me that, in fact, when my higher power speaks and I listen, that maybe what I hear is something that will make sense to somebody else too. And you know, I think that's why this program works for all of us and why going to meetings and sharing at meetings is absolutely what saves our butts, because we don't even know what we're going to say. We say what's there to be said, and somebody who is there hears what they need to hear. And if we don't keep doing that, we simply wouldn't have a room full of people today. You know, I'm already off track. This isn't what I thought it was. I always come to these things with kind of an outline of what maybe I will say, and I actually will refer to that momentarily. But I don't know what it's. I don't know what happens. I get in front of a group, and there is a whole nother thing that a whole nother dynamic that happens, and I promise you, I don't know what I might say in this next hour or so. I have been told that I don't dare go over 80 minutes, and so I will try. I have 3 hours worth of talking, but I will try to stop. But they said that if I go over 80 minutes, then it doesn't get on the tape, and so they're going to flip the lights if I begin to get close to that. So at least if you have to, like, go to the bathroom, you know that within a time element, I will be done so you can get up and leave. And I want to say something about breaking into small groups. My friends here are laughing at me. I'm sorry, you guys. If you thought you were going to come here today and hear some kind of formal presentation, that's not what's going to happen. Because there isn't anything very formal about the kind of presentations I do. I do whatever I do. But I wanted to say something